Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nothing Special by A.E. Villa. Narrated by Aidan Snow. Prologue. How He Is Something. I expect my officers to be diligent, dedicated, focused, and work together as a unit. Most importantly, I expect my officers to not get themselves killed. Detective Cashel Godfrey groaned and rolled his eyes at the captain's obvious statement of their goals. He was pretty sure that all the officers just graduating the academy didn't want to die anytime soon. 15 new recruits were squeezed into the meeting room, eagerly anticipating who they'd be partnered with and how soon they'd be able to hit the streets. The ever-present hero complex shining in their eyes. Godfrey tried to inconspicuously survey the freshly shaven faces. He didn't recognize any of them. Most of the cliché rookies were sporting gelled hair, large tattooed biceps, and backward Ray-Bans resting on their thick necks. He tried not to be obvious while looking into their eyes, seeing if he could make a connection with his future partner. He wasn't prepared for the light brown eyes that locked onto him, unblinking. Godfrey quickly took in the man's lithe, strong physique. Although he was sitting, Godfrey knew he couldn't be any taller than 5'10", 5'11". His hair was dirty blonde, free of product, and longer than he'd expect a rookie to wear it. His trendy 5 o'clock shadow was already present at 8 a.m. Godfrey unconsciously fingered his own neatly trimmed goatee and saw the man quirk up one side of his mouth, his gaze still steady on him. His arms were crossed over his chest, and the short-sleeved blue polyester uniform shirt allowed a peek at the skull and crossbones tattooed on his left biceps. Godfrey had to squint his eyes to see the simple lettering on the 3-inch name tag just above his right pocket. Day. When he brought his eyes back up, he could see Day's intelligent eyes were sizing him up just as hard. Godfrey heard the captain clap his hands together once, breaking their stare-off. All right, officers, you'll spend most of today in admin getting your IDs and logins for the database. There'll also be a few uniforms to do tours of the station, interrogation rooms, holding tanks, records room, gym, locker rooms, blah, blah, blah. He trailed off. The captain looked hard at everyone in the room. When you're finished today, I want you all to go home, fuck your wives, and kiss your kids, because from tomorrow forward, I don't give a fuck about office hours. You're here until I say you can leave. I own your rookie asses until you prove otherwise. Got it? Any questions? His voice boomed in the small room. Godfrey watched Day raise two fingers. What is it, Officer Day? The captain turned hard, dark eyes on the man, already sporting a sarcastic smirk. What if you don't have a wife to fuck, sir? Day quipped, his mouth twitching at trying to hide his amusement. Then fuck your boyfriend, Day. I don't give a shit. Just make sure you can still drag your ass back in here at 00:30 tomorrow, smart mouth. The captain snatched his paperwork off the podium and left the room. Yes, sir. Day whispered after the captain slammed the door. The men started to gather their stuff, getting ready to file out of the room. Godfrey lingered, watching Officer Day pull out his cell phone and use a thin stylus to manipulate the small screen. Well, at least we've spotted the faggot early on, so we know who to protect our junk from in the locker room. Laughter rang throughout the room. Day's head eased up slowly and leveled what Godfrey assumed was his annoyed face at the wannabe 21 Jump Street cop who'd stopped to see if he could push Day's buttons while securing his reputation as the homophobic asshole cop. Godfrey slowly eased around the table, approaching the cop from behind, and Day immediately locked onto Godfrey's eyes over the asshole's shoulder. Day looked at the man's name tag. I think your pencil dick is safe, Renowski. You're not my type anyway. I have a strict no-bastards rule. Now move on. Oh, so you're a selective faggot. I thought you guys fucked any dick that's available, the asshole cop sneered. I wouldn't fuck you, if your dick jizzed liquid gold. Day smirked while a few other officers laughed. Ranowski took a couple steps closer to Day, and things suddenly turned real serious, drawing several of the officers in the room in closer. Just make sure you stay the fuck away from me, asslicker. Godfrey was moving up the row when he saw Day pocket his cell, snort, and flick the side of his nose with his thumb, the telltale sign that he was getting ready to knock this asshole out. I said, move on, Day growled, his furious hazel eyes now the color of burning amber as he closed the distance between him and his bully. Godfrey was now directly behind the asshole, who was completely oblivious to his position, sandwiched between fury and disgust. Godfrey was actually beyond disgusted. He couldn't believe there were still people with this hick town mentality. He'd had to deal with prejudices and bigotry all his life growing up in Clayhatchie, Alabama. Just when he thought he'd escaped it, it rears its ugly head again. The asshole spun around and ran into Godfrey's large chest. The man rubbed his forehead as if he'd run into a brick wall. His eyes traveled the rest of the way up until he reached Godfrey's green eyes, which he now knew glowed with intensity. Who are you, his boyfriend? You gonna make me leave him alone? Ranowski sneered and made a move to get past him. Godfrey reached out at lightning speed and gripped the man by the throat, leaving him zero time to react. His knees buckled and his eyes bulged as he scrambled to get a grip on Godfrey's large forearm. Godfrey dragged the man in close and snarled in his face. No, I'm not his boyfriend. But if you don't shut your fucking mouth, I'll make you his bitch. That depends. Does he swallow? Day asked casually. What the fuck is going on in here? Captain Murphy's loud voice made Godfrey release the small throat from his hand, but not before glaring hard at the asshole, daring him to say a word. Just getting to know each other, Cap, Day answered. Officer Ranowski was just showing my partner the correct technique for choking the shit out of a suspect. Day grinned. Isn't that right, Officer Ranowski? Day gave the still-coughing officer a hard smack on his back, while Godfrey gave him the look of death. Yeah, we were just fucking around, sir, Ranowski barely huffed out while rubbing his red throat. Well, knock that shit off and get your asses down to admin, now! The captain barked, then walked off, mumbling something about them slacking off already as he made his way back to his office. Godfrey and Day looked at each other for a few moments before Godfrey quirked one eyebrow up at him. Partner, huh? Yep, Day said with confidence. Godfrey shrugged. Works for me. The other officers moved out of their way as Godfrey made a hole for him and his new partner. Chapter 1. Yes, we are the baddest. 4 years later. Atlanta PD, I said freeze, don't you fucking make me chase you! Day yelled as he pushed his legs to move faster. He shrugged out of his leather coat and easily hopped the car in the intersection while keeping his weapon trained on the man who was currently 30 feet in front of him. Stop! He yelled again. His suspect turned to see how close he was, and Day took the opportunity to leap, successfully knocking the large man to the ground and rolling with him. Day immediately scrambled to get on top and kneed the man as hard as he could in his kidney, immensely satisfied by the loud wail that burst out of him. Day looked around first before dropping another knee onto the man's other kidney. That's for making me run, asshole. I just had a bean burrito. You do not want to know what's going on in my fucking stomach right now. Day removed his handcuffs from his back pocket. He looked up and saw Godfrey smiling down at him from the driver's side of his truck. Are you gonna fuck him or arrest him, Day? Godfrey smirked at him. Fuck you, God! Day grunted as he pulled his suspect up off the ground. Why do I always have to chase the runners? He huffed and threw their suspect none too gently into the police cruiser that had also pulled up. My suspects are always too scared to run, Godfrey said with a shrug. I can't wait to get back to the station. I'm going to kick James's ass. There were twice as many guys in that drug house as he said there'd be. Day took his leather coat from the uniformed officer who'd picked it up for him and jumped up into the big F-350's passenger seat. Yeah, I definitely think we need a new snitch, Godfrey responded while pulling smoothly into traffic and then flooring it down the boulevard. So, good cop, bad cop? Godfrey smiled at Day. We're both bad cops, God, Day smiled back. This is true, but you're more convincing as good cop. God stroked his goatee. Hey, you know Cap is going to chew our asses out for not calling for backup. Which is whose fault? I told you to call it in, God, but no, you gotta be Billy Badass and kick the door in before we even got the plan down. Day argued. He tried to stretch his legs and hissed at the pain in his knees. God, I swear you're chasing the next one, man. My knees are killing me. If you stopped dropping down on them in back alleys, they'd be fine when you're at work, God replied easily, taking the toothpick from his mouth and flicking it out the window. Oh, wow. Aren't you just full of shits and giggles today? Day pulled one of his 9mm handguns from his holster and checked the safety before locking it back in place and putting his leather coat back on. He held on to the oh shit bar as God made a hard right turn into the station's parking lot. They saw the squad cars pulling into the underground tunnel with their four new arrests and the evidence van backing in to unload the 50 pounds of marijuana they'd just secured from their raid. Day dropped down to the pavement and winced again at his aching knees. There's no way those idiots could bring that kind of weight into the city on their own, God. We're getting closer to the kingpin. I can feel it. Well, let someone else feel it, princess. Long as we get the drugs off the streets, I'm good, God replied, and aimed the key fob toward his truck, activating the alarm. Godfrey, or as Day and most of the force like to call him, God, fell in line with his partner and strolled through the precinct's bullpen like they hadn't a care in the world. But Day knew they'd fucked up. They should have had backup when going in to make that kind of arrest, but their snitch had lied to them about how many dealers worked out of that house. Although he and God were able to take four of them into custody, three others had gotten away, and there was a little gunfire in there, too. God's tight black T-shirt clung to his body while his gold detective's badge, which hung from a sterling silver link chain around his neck, swayed methodically as he walked. His dark denim jeans fit snugly but comfortably. His gun holsters held his Desert Eagle on one side and his 9mm handgun on the other. His thigh-length black leather coat barely concealed the large firearms, or the 6-inch serrated blade with the pearl-handle grip secured under his left arm. Day was about 5 inches shorter than him, but they complemented each other perfectly. Day was quick, witty, smart, skilled, and very dangerous. He'd graduated at the top of his academy class and already had commendations for marksmanship. It had only taken 4 years for him to make detective, and after overseeing several of the city's most successful drug busts along with God, both were promoted to the tactical narcotics team. God and Day were known on the street. They were respected, revered even. When drug kings saw them busting through their front door, they knew their reign was over. Everyone also knew Day was gay and out. But ever since that first day in the conference room when God choked Ranowski without a second thought, no one bothered Day about it, because no one wanted to face the wrath of God.
So, we hear you two busted up that cartel over on 33rd Street.
Detective Cecil strode up beside God as he sat at his desk with his boots propped up on the edge. Day was perched on the corner, looking down at his partner, silently communicating with him like always.
That's right, sweetheart. Another righteous bust for us, Day bragged.
He looked around Cecil to her partner, whose electrifying blue eyes were shooting daggers at both of them.
You got a problem with that, Ranowski? You look like you're dying to get something off your chest.
I don't have a goddamn word to say to you, Day. Come on, Vicky, let's get out of here. We have a planning session to get to. Unlike you fuck-ups,
There are some of us who believe in working as a team to get the job done right.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Day shook his head sadly and sucked his teeth at the angry man.
Mad because we didn't invite you to come along, Ranowski?
Ranowski gritted his teeth.
What the fuck ever? This unit is about working as a team. Every time you jackasses go off half-cocked, someone has to come behind you and clean up your fucking mess.
The detective fumed. God just shook his head, watching the angry exchange. There was no love lost between Day and Ranowski, obviously. Ranowski's partner, Vicky Cecil, was cool, though. She was a pretty woman with an even hotter body. She had plump lips and long, sandy brown hair that she kept pulled into a tight ponytail at the base of her neck. Her warm brown eyes were beautiful, and although she was tough as nails, she knew how to bat her eyes to throw a suspect off during an interrogation. Her hips were nicely proportionate to her small waistline, and Day didn't miss God's lustful stare whenever she approached.
All right, let's go, Ro. I'll see you guys later.
She gave God an extra long stare before turning and following her partner through the bullpen. Day waited until they were almost to the other side of the room before standing up.
So, Ranowski, same time as last night? My place, right? I bought the extra-large condoms this time, so we don't have that little problem again,
Day yelled for all to hear. Ranowski spun around, his face a bright shade of red, and Day thought the man was going to burst a blood vessel in his neck.
Fuck you, Day,
Ranowski yelled back at him, his fist clenched at his side.
So you want to do me this time? That's cool. I'll let that tight ass of yours have a break tonight.
Day feigned confusion before adding,
I guess we won't need those extra-large condoms after all, huh?
The room was buzzing, and many of the officers had turned their attention on a livid Ranowski, laughing hysterically. Even God had a hard time concealing his smile. Ranowski looked like he was about to charge back across the floor until God slowly stood.
All right, knock it off out there. Get back to fucking work,
the captain bellowed out into the bullpen from his open door. He turned his sharp eyes on them and shook his head. God looked at Day.
You just can't get enough, can you?
That's the same thing Ranowski said last night, Day winked.
You son of a bitch,
Ranowski growled as he was dragged out of the bullpen by Vicky, while the other officers laughed at Day's last jibe.
I said knock it off,
the captain looked around, daring anyone else to laugh.
Day, God, in my office now.
They got the scolding of their life and a threat of demotion if they ever pulled a stunt like that again. Day gripped his coat in his hand and exited the captain's office 15 minutes later.
Thanks a lot, God. I've really enjoyed that.
Day shoved his partner's arm hard, barely moving him at all.
Just because the captain was best friends with my dad doesn't mean he's going to go easy on us.
All right, sissy queen, you don't have to be so dramatic,
God teased. Day didn't care about God calling him names because he knew the big man was crazy about him and would kill anyone who insulted him for real.
I don't like getting my ass chewed out, man.
Day plopped back down in his desk chair and let out a long sigh. God leaned against the desk and stared at him.
I thought you did like getting your ass chewed. What do y'all call it?
God snapped his fingers.
Oh, yeah. Tossin' salad.
Fuck you, Day laughed.
Not even on your best day, sweetheart.
God winked, removed his large frame from Day's desk, and sat back in his own chair, facing him. Day picked up his favorite coffee mug and told God he'd be back.
Yeah, I know. You're a damn addict, dude. What would you do if there was ever a shortage of coffee beans in the United States?
God shook his head at him.
What do you think I'd do? I'd move to a country that didn't have a shortage, dumbass. I swear, God, as smart as you are, you sure do ask some stupid shit.
Day dodged the paperclip God threw at him and started toward the station's kitchen. Day made quick work of starting his $300 Keurig coffee maker. It was the best one on the market, and he had carousels holding a variety of flavors. The kitchen had other industrial-sized coffee makers, but Day had to have a freshly brewed cup each time. God was right about Day being addicted to coffee. He drank 10 to 12 cups per day. Although he griped about his inability to sleep, he refused to sacrifice his coffee or switch to godforsaken decaf. Day hummed while he took inventory of what was left and saw that someone had brought in vanilla biscotti-flavored cups. Yes, been meaning to get some of those. Everyone knew the elaborate coffee machine was his. Other officers were welcome to use it as long as they kept it clean and contributed to the stash. Well, hello there, handsome. A rich, deep voice crawled up Day's spine. Great. Of all the precinct kitchens in the world, he had to walk into mine. Day turned around slowly, his steaming cup of coffee held right under his nose, letting the bold aroma calm him. Detective Johnson, it's such a pleasure. It's nice to... Day stuttered sarcastically. Well, let me just say hi. Ouch. You hurt my heart when you say things like that. The tall detective rubbed his hand over his ample chest like he really felt an ache. You're way too beautiful to act like that. Who said I'm acting? Day watched Johnson crowd into his space, using his height to try to smother him, but all he was doing was overpowering the smell of coffee with the cologne he wore. Day refused to look up into the detective's eyes. The man was an arrogant prick, and he didn't deserve Day's respect. Just because the detective was out and proud, too, he somehow thought that made them a great couple. But Detective Johnson was a spoiled rich kid. His father was the police commissioner, and the man wasn't ashamed to throw Big Daddy's weight around, which Day and God hated. There was no way in hell Day would ever consider dating him, no matter how handsome the bastard was. Where you been hiding yourself, Day? I called that number you gave me, but it was an adult video shop. I really didn't like that. It was rude and childish, don't you think? If you didn't want me to have your number, all you had to do was say so. I did, shit, Dick, but someone can't take no for an answer. Day didn't bother voicing his response as he sipped his hot coffee, refusing to let this man ruin his zen feeling. Detective Johnson was far from an ugly man. Actually, he was fucking stunning. But he was also pompous, and not Day's type. The man really thought he could have whatever he wanted because he had a trust fund. You gave me that number and said you didn't mind me calling you. He propped one arm up on the cabinet next to Day's head. His cinnamon breath was wafting down on top of him. And into my motherfucking cup of coffee. I know I said you could call me, but there are two explanations for that. Now, either I was lying, or I was wrong about the number of explanations. Day smirked and took another sip. That slick mouth of yours is going to get you in trouble. Detective Johnson turned his lip up at him. The man really couldn't take a damn hint. He had Day up against the counter with only a hair of breathing room between them. Day could have easily gotten out of there, but he liked fucking with the smug detective. Detective Johnson was a ballistics expert who went from precinct to precinct assisting on cases where needed. Obviously, Cap had called him in to assist with the guns that were recovered during their recent bust. Well, I gotta get back to the grind. Wouldn't want you to tell Daddy I'm slacking off. Day gently set his cup of coffee on the counter, spun and ducked under the detective's arm before the man could blink twice. Day grabbed his mug and made his way to the other side of the room. So, me and you dinner this weekend? Detective Johnson said to Day's back. Day snorted while grabbing a muffin for God. So, is that a no, Day? That's a fuck no. Day opened the door and left the room. He could hear Detective Johnson's curses as he walked away. Day made his way through the office, and when he was a few feet away from their desk, he tossed God the blueberry muffin. God looked at him for a few seconds, using their soundless communication. You're welcome, Day said, dropping down in his chair.
He took another long gulp before releasing a deep breath. He cracked his neck on both sides and leveled his hazel eyes on his partner.
"So, you ready to do the nasty, God?"
he asked him with complete seriousness.
"As ready as I'm gonna be. Give it to me, baby," God replied with a frustrated huff.
Day began downloading the multitude of forms and printing them out to be completed. God groaned at all the papers printing on their small desktop printer.
"Ugh, fucking paperwork. Shit. Hate it," God all but yelled.
Chapter 2. Now you see me, now you don't. After 2 hours of paperwork, they were both exhausted, and Day felt like he'd been rubbing his eyes with sandpaper. Day heard God clearing his throat before he coughed again.
"I'm going to stop by the convenience store on the corner and grab some cough drops," God said.
"Good, I want some coffee," Day groaned as he reclined in God's comfortable truck.
"Of course," God replied between coughs.
"You all right, dude? You've been coughing like that for over a week." Day kept his eyes closed while he spoke.
"I'm good. I think it's just allergies," God said with a shrug.
Day didn't think anything else about it. God was as stubborn as a mule, especially when it came to his health, or, heaven forbid, going to see a doctor. He couldn't even recall the last time his partner had a checkup. Not even after his biceps got cut by a perp they arrested last year. Day had tried to convince him he needed stitches, but God insisted it was just a flesh wound. The jagged scar was still very visible. God jerked into the parking space and slammed on the brakes right before his front bumper came into contact with the brick wall.
"Jesus, man, you trying to kill us?" Day huffed.
"You don't always have to drive like you're auditioning for the Grand Prix."
"Stop bitching, Miss Daisy. If you don't like my driving, you can always ride that crotch rocket to work," God replied with an annoyed expression.
"Whatever, let's just hurry up." Day made his way into the small store right behind God's massive figure. Before the overhead bell could stop ringing, Day asked the clerk,
"You got a fresh pot back there?"
"Yes, just started it 5 minutes ago,"
the clerk replied with a thick Asian accent.
"Good man."
Day made his way to the back of the store. God turned down the cold medicine aisle. Day hummed as he poured the steaming brew into the largest cup the store had and popped open about 15 creamers. Day liked his coffee with a lot of cream and sugar, and he wasn't ashamed to open a ton of the mini servings until his cup was just right. Day was stirring the golden brown liquid and was about to take a sample taste when he heard the store's cowbell ding. 5 seconds later, he heard a demand shouted by a male voice.
"Don't move, old man. Empty the drawer right now."
Then something or things went crashing to the floor.
"Don't do anything stupid. I don't want to hurt you. Just give me the money," the guy shouted.
Day couldn't see over the rows of shelves, but from the sound of it, the robber had to be in his late teens, early 20s.
"Great."
Day took his cup and went by the coolers across the back of the store. He peeked down the aisle that God was in and saw him reading the label on some cough syrup as he popped a cough drop into his mouth.
"Really, God?"
Day eased up to his partner, careful not to make a sound.
"Did you find what you needed?" he whispered to God.
"Yep."
God turned to look at him.
"Don't you hear the place being robbed?"
"Yep."
"Are you going to stop it?"
"Yep."
"Now you see me, now you don't?"
Day winked.
"Yep."
God put the cough syrup and drops in his coat pocket and strolled to the front of the store. Day went back around to come up the aisle closest to the door. He heard the young man yell again.
"Open the safe! Hurry up! Don't try to stall me!"
Ugh, fucking amateur.
God turned at the end of the aisle and saw a small figure in front of the counter shakily pointing a .22 caliber handgun at the terrified clerk. The boy couldn't have been over 18 years old. He had a red and blue Braves ball cap pulled down low on his face, and his black hoodie was zipped up to his chin and pulled up over the cap. The jeans were faded and extremely tight, and God found himself wondering if the guy's balls were pissed off at him.
God took quiet steps toward the counter and was only a few feet from the boy before he whirled his gun around and pointed it at God.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?